And now may the words of my heart and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I've been living and breathing All Saints for a while now. And if I were being really honest, in some ways I've been living it since the age of 12 when I first asked God the question, what is this all about, this life? I didn't get an answer then. And some days I think I have an answer, and then something happens to shatter all sense of security, and I'm asking the question all over again. The best that I can come up with is that life is about living. And that includes joy and suffering, compassion and fatigue, love and even hatred, though we do our best not to give in to the last. But we live in these gray areas, these murky middles of most days. And when we are blessed with clarity, it often comes in times of crisis or at the break of a sunrise. We're gifted those moments when it all makes sense. Simply, like life is about living. And we embrace and we give thanks for life itself. Now, all of that said, I do think about dying a lot. A lot more than my peers, I've discovered. And part of that is my job. Part of that is just because of who I am. And part of that is because remembering that I'm going to die helps me to live a better life. Which is why I was so attracted to this new app that they have for smartphones. It's called WeCroak. 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 And WeCroak is a very simple application. Five times a day, a message appears on your phone randomly at no particular time. Five times a day, up pops the message with a little chime that says, "Don't forget, you're going to die." Now, when I read that, I read this in my Christian Century magazine. Some of you might say I need to get a different magazine. It's a wonderful magazine. I got so excited when I read this. I started to tell my friends about how excited I was to get this app. No one shared in my joy. No one could understand why I would want this. But in the article I read about WeCroak, the man who wrote the article, Matt Fitzgerald, he understood. And surprise, he's a pastor. He serves a much larger congregation and witnesses death and suffering weekly. And in the article, he talks about the gift of the random timing causing this message to appear and how it would show up so often at just the right time. Like the moment he was about to go into a fit of rage at his teenage son for not doing the dishes. Or right before a meeting with a parishioner who had been criticizing his theology behind the pulpit. He writes about this. He says he had been rehearsing his defense for 20 minutes on the train ride. He was going to go over there and defend himself all the way up the elevator to the parishioner's home when suddenly the message appeared, a chime on his phone. Don't forget, you're going to die. And he writes this. Most of the alerts arrive when I'm in the middle of doing nothing at all. I've received several while drinking coffee in the morning, when my kids are asleep, or my wife is in the shower. Don't forget, you're going to die. And nothing happens, but my coffee tastes better. And nothing changes, but I notice the sunlight pouring through the bay window. Now, before I had the app, I rarely found such pleasure in the mundane. A microdose of mortality can make the day glow. End quote. Now, I would agree with all of that, except that really only works best when everything's going well. Because there are those mornings when everything is not well with our world, and not well with our being. And in this morning's scripture, just prior to this, what you didn't hear, Martha has already set out to be with Jesus. Good old Martha, always doing. She's out there, and she's ready to talk to Jesus about the death of Lazarus. And they have a conversation that's really quite heady. You know, talking about resurrection and God's glory, it's a good conversation. He filled with beautiful words, Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha says to him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. You see why that's a heady conversation. We believe, we state that. We're going to profess today what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. But it's up here, which is so different than what we experience here, in the heart, when someone we love dies. Enter Mary. Now, Mary's at home in this scripture while Martha's out. Mary's still at home, and she's grieving. And that's us, too, when we shut the blinds, and we cry, and we wail. And when Mary heard that Jesus was near, she went out to find him, and she knelt before him, essentially saying, where were you? Why weren't you here? If you had been here, my brother would still be alive. How many of us have asked that question? Where is God in all of this pain and all of this suffering? Couldn't God have stopped them from dying? Why wouldn't he? Where were you, God? And here comes, in my opinion, the best answer to that question that I know. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus begins to weep. There is no better answer to this question of suffering in the world, in perhaps his greatest expression of humanity and compassion and vulnerability, our Jesus cries. So let that two-worded scripture be our greatest teacher, that when our heart is breaking, God's heart breaks alongside of ours with us, always with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And not only God, but God as the expression in community. That we are never alone. And the Jews were with Mary in her home. And then they follow her when she starts searching for Jesus. Our community of friends and family are here to search with you for God. And to sit with you and to grieve with you and to witness with you all the ways that God is with you in one another. And in the love that you share, in the weeping that you share. Now, this isn't always done perfectly. We're human beings. And the book of Job reminds us our friends can say really stupid things when we're grieving. And it's always in an attempt to help us, but they so often get it wrong. But that's not the end of the story. The scripture doesn't end with Jesus weeping. It's not the end of this story. This holy scripture, it's not the end of our holy experience of grief. Jesus says, take away the stone, and Jesus looks up and says, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And the dead man comes out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face still wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus says to them, unbind him and let him go. Well, the gospel writer, John, is making a point that this display was all for the glory of God so that others would believe, bringing us full circle to that earlier conversation with Martha about resurrection and eternal life. But it's so much more than just belief. It's about trust, that in the letting go of our loved ones, letting all these saints go, we let go of all the bodily ways we keep ourselves bound to wanting to understand with our heads. And instead, we should trust our hearts. There's more to this life and there's more to death than we can ever understand with our heads. To unbind death and to let it go is to embrace this life and the life that we are gifted, even while we are grieving. To be raised up is to be lifted to places beyond our imagination and beyond our grasp. It's to trust that Oliver has sailed away with Olivia, as you heard in the children's message. But it's also to trust what happens beyond death is to be celebrated alongside the weeping, and that the stench and sting of death never fully passes. But with time, the beauty of the love that all the saints leave behind grows and deepens into an ever-sustaining spirit of life. That's what we embrace here today. And it's what we embrace every day, multiple times a day, without a nap, but in the presence of Jesus Christ, who is always with us. Amen. Amen.